finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
God speak. We hear the expression, the Word of God, and we think of course, the Scripture, the Bible. And can the Word of God speak literally? Several places we learn this in Hebrews, which is interesting, 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a powerful scripture. The living scripture can indeed speak to you. And as the Word of God discerns your thoughts and your heart, it will shape your life in godliness if you allow it. Word of God speak. It's amazing to think that the very creator of the universe would actually speak to you or to me personally. Perhaps the most startling proclamation of the Bible is that God will do just that, speak to you, lead you, guide you. What a wonder. And perhaps the question is then, if God is speaking, how well are we listening? You know, we're familiar with the term ADD, attention deficit disorder. It's primarily associated with children, and adults can suffer it as well. Some of you may even struggle with it. ADD or ADHD is characterized by an inability to sustain focused attention. Some items on the checklist, including those that have the following behaviors, are present in most people with this ADHD. It's distractibility, inattention, impulsivity, moodiness, burst of hot temper, and hyperactivity. And I suspect that many followers of Christ suffer from kind of a spiritual ADHD. And maybe one of the reasons we, many of us, don't hear from God as we clearly might is because we get distracted and attentive and hyperactive. It requires discipline to sharpen your focus, to reject the diversions that surround us and be able to give us full attention to people and situations that require it. Our lives are full of distractions and opportunities and demands. It's just ongoing. Phones ring at all hours. Cell phones keep us constantly plugged in. Internet connections can be made at any time. Email, instant messenger, real-time written communication. It's a constant barrage of distractions in our world today. I believe a result of being offered a smorgasbord of information, our attention span becomes weakened. We are less attentive. And one consequence is our inability to hear God's voice over all the background noise of our life. If God is speaking, are we listening? Word of God speak. And of course, the Word of God, we talked about being Scripture, but also can refer to Jesus. Wonderful Scripture in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There was a day once when Christ was talking to non-believing Pharisees, and He made this proclamation about the follower of Christ, and I think it's staggering. John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." That if you know Christ, that you have ability to hear God's voice. Word of God speak. Mercy Me and their song sing, "The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what You say. To be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness." Word of God speak. I really like that. "The last thing I need is to be heard." I've said so many times for years over and over, most of our prayers are given to God advice. We tell Him what we should do, how we should do it, what would make us happy, and we move on. And we don't have the discipline of listening to His response, to His plan and His will. Let me be still and know You're in this place, resting in Your holiness. I mean, there's so many times in our life when we need just that, to be still. Know that God is in this place, our place, here or at home or where we're at, when we need Him, where we need Him, and that He will indeed speak to us. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. All too often, the be still part is the hardest part. How many of you ever heard the expression, "I have a convention going on in my head"? You know, we get these conventions going on, all these thoughts, we're talking, we're listening, all this stuff is happening. Life gets challenging, confusing, and our mind just takes off. We have this convention going on in our mind and our thoughts, and the more we listen to it, the more confused we get. And if we would listen, really listen, I believe we would hear God say, "Be still and know that I am God." And there is a discipline that would benefit every one of us. It would benefit every follower of Christ. The discipline of getting before God, seeking Him for His wisdom in the situation you need, and being still before Him, trusting He will lead you, He will impart His wisdom to you. That takes a discipline. All too often, we run headlong in any kind of challenge that comes our way and trying to make sense of it ourselves. And Proverbs warned us in 26:12, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." The biblical definition of the understanding, you see fool throughout Scripture quite a bit. Excuse me, the biblical definition, if you will, of a fool is someone who disregards God's word. Now consider that for a moment. Someone who has no regard disregards the word of God. is a fool. Scripture lists many characteristics of such a person, often contrasting that person with one who is wise. The fool is unrighteous. The fool hates what is holy, righteous, and good, and he loves evil. The fool is unwise, does not seek wisdom, and would reject wisdom if he was able to acquire it. The Bible says that the person who thinks he has it all figured out, the person who does not need God and God's wisdom, there is more hope for a fool even for him. A couple weeks back, we began looking at God's wisdom and his promise regarding it. We looked at it 1 week, and then we had a week where we had no water. There was a whole issue with that, and then we had missionaries last week. So I'm kind of picking back up where we were, but we saw in James 1, 5 through following, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord, but he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. If any of you ask wisdom, ask God. We saw that God's wisdom is indeed available to us, but that we need to trust him in it, not doubting, without doubting. With a doubter tossed to and fro, up and down, back and forth, becomes unstable in all his ways. Did you get that? I've called him a seasick Christian, tossed back and forth like the waves. But it's like you think, well, I'm confused about this situation, and you get in doubt, and God says you don't just become unstable in that area, you become unstable in every area of your life when you're a doubter. And we saw that scripture clarifies the difference between earthly wisdom and at times even demonic wisdom and God's wisdom. James 3, 13 and following, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. What a contrast. I mean, you have God's wisdom, and you have wisdom that's earthly, and you have wisdom that's demonic. It doesn't descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And it goes on, when you have envy and self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing are in your life. We've looked at these verses a couple weeks ago, and in times past as well, and we saw that God's wisdom, divine wisdom, brings with it not only the much-needed wisdom we have and need in our life, but divine peace as well. James 3, 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You can pick that scripture apart. In fact, I would encourage you to do that as we meditate on that scripture. Look at each word. It's first of all pure. God's wisdom is pure. Peace-loving, considerate, on and on. The beauty of God's divine wisdom. The reality is we all need wisdom on a daily basis. I don't go through a day that I don't need some kind of wisdom for a choice or what I'm doing. And we need God's wisdom in the everyday events of our life. And we need his wisdom when we're faced with life's important decisions. And the good news is that when we need wisdom, God promises his wisdom when we turn to him in faith, trusting and believing. And we never know when we will be called upon to make the most important decision on our lives. How much more important than to develop the practice of seeking God for and receiving his wisdom every day. Someday you're going to have the most important, a decision that changes everything. And perhaps I should say we never know when we call and make the second most important decision in our lives, because accepting Christ is clearly the most important decision you'll ever make. But after that and beyond that, when will a time come when this is the most important decision you'll ever make? Wisdom is far more than knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And any of us, if we would take the time to survey our past decisions, we would find more than our share of unwise choices, at times where we made a choice and we just blew it. How many of you have seen the show American Pickers? I think they're in their 20th year. Most of you, a lot of you have seen the show American Pickers. Interesting, but if you watch the show from time to time, every once in a while, they get a chance to pick a museum and they jump at it. And they said that every museum has a room full of mistakes. Something somebody bought, they spent money on, they acquired it, they thought it was really going to be worthwhile, they made this choice and it was a mistake, and it's sitting there, and the pickers are saying, we can get a good deal with this. Looking back in our lives, we too all often will see our room full of mistakes. If we're hard enough on ourselves, and the devil then quickly reminds us of them, it causes doubt to come rushing in. And have you ever noticed, even though you and I have our past mistakes, God is not in the habit of bringing them up? We do. Others do to us. The enemy does. And if you, in fact, listen carefully to the Word of God, God is either telling you who you are now in Christ or who you're going to be. Amen. God looks forward. We should do the same. Look forward. Learn from our mistakes. At least we repeat them. But don't dwell on them. Move forward. Look forward, leaning on God's promise of His wisdom. Seek God's knowledge and His wisdom to apply it. Because knowledge can be memorized. Wisdom must think things through. Wisdom enables you to use knowledge correctly. We all know knowledge can be memorized. We got through classes in school, or maybe there's something that we really enjoy, or we are interested in, and we read about it and study about it, and we get a lot of knowledge about it, and we can memorize and recite facts, but wisdom requires thought. You can't memorize wisdom. You've got to have the knowledge and apply it correctly. And Scripture informs us where to start. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's that fool again, despising wisdom and instruction. And the fear of God here can be understood as a holy reverence, this fear of God. And is the fool, the unwise, that has no fear of God. They behave as they choose without any consideration of God, who He is, and what He desires. And we go through our life making life's choices, life decisions, starting when we're young, moving on, moving choices and jobs and vocations and all of that, marriages and whatever. And we get caught up in just doing what we think is right. And we've never learned perhaps the discipline of God's direction, His wisdom, and His will. And there's a scripture here, and I'm sorry, a tension here in Scripture. Bible tells us, fear not, be at peace. It says we've not been given a spirit of fear, and yet commands us to fear God. Calls us, tells us God is Abba Father, close and intimate at the same time to fear God. Where's the tension in that? I mean, why do we get to the tension? There's a key in understanding that. Beyond just a holy reverence, but there's a side of this fear of God, and to not fear someone or something to say you're equal to it or better than they are it. If I'm not afraid of something, I'm equal to or better than that thing or that person. We always got to acknowledge God's holiness, His majesty, His sovereignty, His incredible grace and His incredible power. And fear of the Lord is recognizing His awesome majesty, His incredible sovereignty. And in so doing, it's the beginning of knowledge. It's the starting point. Proverbs 2, 1 and following is incredible. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Don't you hear yourself crying out to God? Make sense to this, Lord. I don't understand it. I need your discernment. I need to understand it. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need you, Lord. That's what this is saying. And it goes on, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom for his mouth. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And see, there's a process here. First, you seek after, you hunger for God's wisdom, his discernment and understanding. And then when you do that, you understand the fear of the Lord, his awesomeness, his power, his majesty, and you find the knowledge of God. He gives us a prescription, if you will, a process. And verse 6 is a fundamental key to your growing in God's wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God gives wisdom. He is the source. And we can understand that all that man has ever accomplished in reality is from God's wisdom. We live in an age like, where is it going to stop? Technology has changed exponentially, just keeps going on. I remember we first got a computer, this huge thing that sat on a desk, right? Big screen, big thing on the ground, and we were amazed at what it could do. I remember in the back of this computer, this giant thing, there was a little switch, CPUs, and it was like, it go, if I, 10 was normal, if I really wanted to ramp it up, it'd be 12. And it was like, we were amazed what this thing would do. Fast forward with man's technology, my phone has more ability than that computer did years ago. Technology is changing all the time. Medical technology, on it goes. And everything that man has accomplished in reality is from God's wisdom. Whether they're willing to admit it or not, God is the ultimate source of wisdom. Proverbs 3:19 and following, Living Bible says, the Lord's wisdom founded the earth. His understanding established all the universe and space. The deep fountains of earth were broken open by his knowledge, and the skies poured down rain. Man's advances and everything is only God allowing them to understand in a small part how he put things together in the first place. And if you look at God's wisdom, it founded the earth, established universe and space. Whatever you need, God has wisdom for you above and beyond what you could ever use. And all that you or I have ever accomplished, achieved, is a direct result from the gifting of God. I've spoken about that many times. You know, we've talked about, typically we have an understanding of gifted. We think of gifted, we may think of a gifted child or an individual who is practically gifted, a gifted surgeon. A gifted musician, somebody who's gifted working with their hands. We said they really have it. They have it together. The Old Testament called out for specific gifted individuals in building the temple. People that were gifted and special and great with their hands. And we look at all this and we begin to think about gifted individuals as special. But the Bible's clear. We are all gifted in one way or another. And everything we've ever done is because of some type of gifting from God. I mean, there are individuals who are excel in certain areas. They're gifted in areas and they've applied themselves. They take the very best, take those areas and really apply themselves to it. And that's how they grow. In fact, I think that's good. The athlete, the musician who practices constantly, the craftsman who studies his trade and always works at it and his skills needed to striving for excellence, to be better. Regardless of what you do, the ability to accomplish something is a gift from God. And if in your area of life you've applied yourself diligently and grown in your area of gifting, wonderful. You should. I think we're going to be accountable for what God has blessed us with or gifted us with. It doesn't make one person better than the other. It just means that you can function in that area. We get so caught up and what we've accomplished. Look what I have. Look what I drive. Look what I built. Look what I own. Look where I live. And really, the right way to think about it, it's a goofy analogy, but imagine this. Imagine somebody came along and gave you a wonderful car, a supercar, something wonderful. They gave it to you. And you're driving around, somebody, oh, look at that car, and you're all puffed up and proud. Yeah, it's my car, but you didn't do anything. You just got it. The gifting that God has given you, why would you ever get puffed up on that? And if you've applied yourself and grown that gifting, good, I think you should. But it's God that enabled us to do that in the first place. Nothing ever changes the fact that our ability is a gift from God. Your creator, my creator. And not to acknowledge that is pride or arrogance. Acknowledge God as your source of all wisdom. Scripture said is the beginning of wisdom. Pursuit of God's wisdom is a wonderful, very good thing. There's a strong encouragement in Proverbs for the pursuit of God's wisdom. Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, get wisdom, get understanding. Does it not tell you that it's available to you? Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom. She will protect you, love her, and she will watch over you. Proverbs 8, 11, wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you think would be the ultimate thing in life. It doesn't compare to God's wisdom. Proverbs 8, 12 and following. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. See, God's wisdom is multifaceted and reaches every area of your life. And I think it's interesting, verse 13 says that God, that wisdom hates the same thing that God hates. Do you hate what God hates? That's God's wisdom. And God's wisdom will drive you towards God's ultimate plan and will for your life. We want to be in God's will. Amen? We want to walk in his plan. Wisdom will take us there. We saw in Proverbs 17 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We said that knowledge, knowing, is one thing, and wisdom is the understanding, the application of that knowledge. Now, are you ready to get happy? You want to come back for a minute? Take a little trip? You know, wherever you're at, come back. Because God wants to say something to you this morning. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. First we said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It grows. It multiplies. It comes on. But wait, there's more. Did you catch the latter part of that verse? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You got to love that. Knowledge of the Holy One. Allow that to sink in for a moment. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Do you have any idea what a privilege that is? How many people do you know that are totally confused by God? So many people completely misunderstand God. They don't get him. They don't understand his direction. They don't know anything about God. They have no way of searching him and going after him. And the Bible says that you can have knowledge of the Holy One. You can know him. You can know who he is. You can know about him. You can have this depth of relationship with him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. To know and understand the holiness, character, and power of God. New Living Testament says knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. It's saying, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowing and acknowledging God ends up with good judgment. You make wise decisions. You make good choices. You live your life according to God's will. And John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, that you could know God and Jesus Christ. What an incredible honor, and it's only possible through the salvation, of course, provided by Jesus Christ. But if we're honest with ourselves, I think we'll admit we take knowing God for granted. The longer we've been saved, the longer we've known God, the longer we've been a follower of Christ, we tend to take knowing God for granted, and we lose sight of what an awesome privilege it is to know Him, to be able to go through life saying, Lord, I need Your wisdom, I need Your direction, I need Your guidance, and I know You, I know Your voice, I will hear it, and I will follow. I submit to you this morning, wherever you are at in that walk of life with God, that you begin where you're at now and grow, because you can clearly see through Scripture that there's a growth available to you. So don't beat yourself up if you think, I haven't heard from God, I don't know how to do this. Start. I've watched people, sometimes in older points of life, not being able to make clear decisions, and they don't understand seeking God and getting His wisdom. They don't get that they can do it. They've never done it. They don't get it. Start now. Make it a practice of your life so it's a natural thing that you know God's voice and you follow His direction. And once you know Christ, you have the opportunity to develop a reverence for God and His holiness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 2 becomes a prescription, if you will, for God's wisdom. Watch it. Walk through it with me. 2:1 and following, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Receive God's word. Treasure it. Hide it in your heart. His commandments within you. Incline your ear. Listen. Seek His wisdom. And apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to saying, Lord, this thing that You're beginning to show me, I want to know it. I want to understand it. I've shared times in past what God tells us to do something, or told me to do something, and you just do it out of obedience. You don't always get it. And there's a side to that. It's called just being obedient. Sometimes we don't see all the way down the road. We just tell what God's in front of us, and we obey Him. We got countless examples of that. But there's also a side of saying, Lord, I hear what You're telling me. I've listened. I'm moving in that direction. I believe You. I will obey You, but I want to understand it. And maybe I'll have to walk it out. That's okay, but I want to know deeper. Because Scripture says you can understand it. You can seek. You can search. It becomes a process to living in God's wisdom, developing your mind and your heart towards the things of God continually, to touch every area of your life. And this is how you function in wisdom daily, not just when you cry out, when you're in trouble. We all so often do that. Something comes along, it's a crisis, we're not sure what to do, and we begin to cry out to God. And I'm not saying don't do that. But sometimes we need wisdom to get us out of trouble, to keep us out of trouble. We need His wisdom on a daily basis. Yes, we need it when the crisis hits, but I want to learn His voice in the everyday. So I know it so clearly in the crisis, when I'm confused or I'm fearful or all these things are happening around me, that I can stop, take a breath, hear the voice of my God, hear His reassurance, and get His direction how to move on. And Proverbs moves on. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Holy smokes. Are you kidding me? He stores up sound wisdom for the righteous, for the upright, for those that know Him. He has a storehouse of wisdom for you when you know Christ. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. There was a way that seems right to the man, but it's not God's way. It's not God's way. There's a way in the world that seems so right, it's not God's way. And there's a path and a walk and a life that you can live being led by the Spirit of God in everything you apply your hand to, every thought, every desire, everything you need. In every moment of our lives, there's a place for the presence of God. And with the presence of God comes His knowledge, His insight, His understanding, His direction, His wisdom. Invite the worship team to come forward. You know, on a daily basis, we're surrounded with the world's view of what is acceptable and what is wise, and we're so tainted by that. The first ways of the world will erode your heart towards God, will undermine godly wisdom in your life. Proverbs 3 and following, 5 and following, trust the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We're surrounded by the world's wisdom that says, wait, don't lean on that understanding. In all your ways, everything you do, acknowledge God, and He'll direct your path. Let's purpose to seek God first, to walk in His promise of wisdom. And I return then to James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach. It'll be given to him. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We looked at that message. We call it the tragedy of doubt. To live your life in doubt is a tragedy. So, how would your life be different, better, if you pursued God's wisdom daily? How many miracles have we missed? How much of God's presence have we missed out on because we doubted God? And I say to you again, in every moment of our lives, there's a place for the presence of God. So let's stand together this morning and worship our God. And if you need wisdom, what a great time to do it. What a great time to ask for it. At times I've sought God for wisdom and He gave it to me immediately. At other times it took some pursuing, the pursuit of God's wisdom. It took following and trusting and believing until I got it. But God is faithful. Let's stand and worship our God together this morning.